February 3rd, The Mind of Christ, number 4, Elder R.C. Porter. At 7:30 p.m., Elder Porter again resumed his discourses upon the mind of Christ. Following is a synopsis of the discourse. The only way to be benefited by the study of the Scriptures is to heed every text as soon as we understand its meaning. Then the mind of Christ will be in us. For His mind is expressed in the Scriptures which were given to the prophets by Him. 1 Peter 1 verse 11. Three questions have been handed in which I now will answer. Number one, the evidence is wanted that Christ is a created being. Number two, how can the statement in Spiritual Gifts, page 21, that after man had sinned, Christ was seen to go three times into his Father's presence to offer himself for the sins of the world, be reconciled with the position taken that the plan was devised back in the eternal ages, even from eternity? Number three, who will take the place made vacant by Satan and his angels? Elder Porter then said that in speaking of Christ, he should not have said created, but begotten. Begotten is the exact language of the Scripture. The new birth, which we must experience to become the children of God, is a new creation. We are born of the Spirit of God. This is beyond our comprehension. Neither can we tell how Christ was begotten of the Father. This is one of the deep things of God. In answer to the second question, would say, is it a fact that the Bible teaches that the plan of redemption was laid before man fell? Yes, it is. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Now, this text plainly states that the plan was devised before the world began. Take also Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Here we learn that we were justified in Christ before the foundation of the world. Elder Porter here read from Advanced Proofs of the Life of Christ by Sister White, substantiating the position he had taken. So there is plenty of evidence that the plan of salvation was conceived way back in the eternal ages. Then the statement in Spiritual Gifts is also true, whether we see how it can be so or not, whether we see the harmony or not. When the Lord reveals anything to us, it is true whether our minds are able to grasp it or not. Elder Porter then read an extract from early writings showing what a sacrifice it was to God to yield up his Son for the lost world. It can readily be seen that although the plan had been laid from eternity, yet when the necessity actually came and the Son of God must be given up, the act of voluntarily giving himself on the part of the Son and the yielding on the part of God would have to be gone through again. The Father could have refused to give his Son, and so the Son could have shrunk from giving his life as a ransom for the world. So we read in early writings that when Jesus gave himself for man and made known to the angelic host what he would do for them, they prostrated themselves before him and offered their lives as a ransom for men. This then took place at the time of the actual yielding up of Christ after man had sinned. The struggle in God's mind was repeated. So again, when Jesus was in the garden, he asked God that if it were possible, the cup might pass from him. So there is harmony between the Scriptures and the testimony. The Bible must be in harmony in all its parts. While God's purpose covers all time and all things, he did not purpose that man should sin. The Lord speaking by Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 31 says of the evils of burning sons and daughters in the fire that such things never came into his heart. His purpose was a universe without a mark of sin or hate. This embraced the plan of salvation from the beginning. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning, Acts 15:18 says. Might it not be that he would not view all works of sin? The works of sin are whose works? They are the devil's works. God knows his own works from eternity. God's word is true, though we may not understand it all. As Sister White once says, it is easier to tell what God knows than it is to tell what he does not know. God is higher than we, as much higher as the heavens are higher than the earth. If we could understand it all, he would not be God to us any longer. We can never fathom God. I will now consider the last question. Who will take the place made vacant by the rebellion of Satan and his angel? Satan was an angel of light. Read Ezekiel 28. He was the covering cherub, verse 4, one of the exalted angels which stood by the Lord. This was an important relation to God. This being influenced man to sin. He caused the fall of man. His position was in the temple of God, but he fell. How did he fall? He decided that God's government was not right, that his law was not good, and that it ought to be changed. He claimed God's law bound his creatures and held every good thing away from them. He said, "I will be like the Most High." He wanted to run the government for himself. Did he try to do so by love? No, he tried to do it by force and not by love. Where then do we find the first national reformer? We find him in the government of force, established by Satan, with himself at the head. This government proposes to work for the benefit of those who run the government. It is not built upon love, but as we study the history of the government of God, we find the difference between the government of love and the government of force. And when Satan took this position against the government of God, he broke every commandment of the Decalogue. The test of keeping the commandments is really the test of love. Do you love God with all your heart? Do you thank him for every blessing you have received? Love is found in the Sabbath commandment. It tells about the creation of the earth. But why was the earth created? For God's pleasure, and he takes pleasure in love. He created intelligent beings that he might bestow his love upon them, created them for the purpose of loving them. That was the object of his creating them. But Satan rebelled against God, tried to establish a government by deceit and force, and was removed from the position he had occupied. He and his sympathizers were cast out of heaven. Who will take his place in heaven? In Revelation 14, we are told that the 144,000 have the Father's name in their foreheads. That name is love. It will be God's name of love. The 144,000 sing a song that no one else can sing. No other of the redeemed hosts can sing the song that they sing. They are in the temple of God and serve him day and night. They follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. In Revelation 7, we learn that they have the seal of God in their foreheads. What is that seal? Love. What is love? Commandment keeping is love. This sealed company hold a special relation to Christ. Do they not then take the place made vacant by Satan and the fallen angels? Elder Porter then reads extracts from Experience and Views beginning at page 10. End of Elder Porter's sermon.